Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Clear for Takeoff. This is Deacon Joe Montone, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. This weekend's readings are from the 13th Sunday in Ordinary Times. Let's go to our checklist. Number one, do you have time for God? Check. Is your heart open wide for God? Check. Is your Bible open? Check. And are you free of distractions? Check. And if you've answered yes to these four questions, then you and I are ready to engage in the Word of God. Let's go to our first reading from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4, verses 8 to 11 and 14 to 16. And here it is. One day Elisha came to Shunem, where there was a woman of influence who urged him to dine with her. Afterward, whenever he passed by, he used to stop there to dine. So she said to her husband, "I know that Elisha is a holy man of God. Since he visits us often, let us arrange a little room on the roof and furnish it for him with a bed, table, chair, and lamp, so that when he comes to us, he can stay there." Sometime later, Elisha arrived and stayed in the room overnight. Later, Elisha asked, "Can something be done for her?" His servant Gehazi answered, "Yes. She has no son, and her husband is getting on in years." Elisha said, "Call her." When the woman had been called and stood at the door, Elisha promised, "This time next year, you will be fondling a baby son." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of 2 Kings, my friends, we see the power of God providing a new son for a woman who's unable to have a child. And so, you know, in life, there are many women who are unable to have a son, unable to get pregnant. I remember a woman many years ago who had three sisters and brothers who were all at the same time in those years getting pregnant, and she was unable to have a child at that time. And the family grew, and each one of the sisters and brothers were having one and even two children. And jealousy entered the equation. But through prayer and through the power of God, eventually, after 3 years, this woman was able to have her own child, and God provided. And today she has four children. But I just tell you that, you know, the Lord says in Jeremiah 1:5, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and dedicated you to become a prophet." And the Lord also says that whoever has a child in my name receives the love of Jesus and the Father through the Holy Spirit. And this is powerful, that the Lord truly gives us the glimpse and the information, the insight to our faith where life is concerned, that he is the only one who truly can provide for a family in the children that are born to a parent a mother and a father. And so when we put our good intentions into the hands of our Lord Jesus, the options are there for miracles to occur. And when those things happen, it is life-changing. I remember years ago, a couple who went to pray in the Holy Land because they too were unable to have children. And they ended up praying there for 1 week. And really, it was a God-centered pilgrimage. And within, a year from that time, she became pregnant. And today, they actually have 3 children, and they were triplets. I also remember a pilgrimage that we did to the National Shrine of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And on board the bus, we had 57 people, and there was a woman there who asked us to pray for her daughter-in-law who could not get pregnant. And this was 2 to 3 years, and it was a struggle for her daughter-in-law and her son. And so we prayed. We prayed the rosary. We prayed special intentions for this family. And at the shrine of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, up on the altar, we served communion, and then we served the people with the scapular dedicated to Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And when this woman came up to receive a scapular, the Spirit told me to give her a second one for her son and daughter-in-law. So I followed her back to the pew and gave her that scapular. And on the bus ride home, we prayed once again for her intentions. And the pilgrimage was concluded. Several months later, this woman joined us for another pilgrimage to EWTN in Birmingham, Alabama. And when we arrived at 7 a.m. at the airport in Philadelphia International Airport, she was teared up. She was crying. And I approached her and I said to her, "What's wrong?" She said, "Oh, Mr. Montone, nothing is wrong. I just have some good news for you." I said, "Well, you know, what is it?" She said, "My daughter-in-law and son are pregnant, and they're going to have a child." And it was, you know, just an amazing moment to acknowledge the prayers that we had offered up for her intentions at the National Shrine of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary, her family grew. Her daughter became pregnant, and her, you know, son-in-law was truly blessed with the gift of a new child. And we celebrated that miracle when we went down to EWTN. But I just tell you, for those out there who are struggling and who cannot get pregnant, please take a moment to pray and put your intentions into the hands of the Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary and Saint Joseph. Offer it up in that way with good intentions. Where the faith is strong and the intentions are good, God can bless. And he can give you whatever it is your heart desire is. And part of that prayer should always be, my friends, that we believe with our hearts and we confess with our tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord. And with God, nothing is impossible. So once again, we acknowledge the power of God through the Book of Kings today and the great gift and miracle of a newborn child for a family. Let's go to our second reading from the book of Romans, chapter 6, verses 3 to 4 and 8 to 11. And here it is from St. Paul. "Brothers and sisters, are you unaware that we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were indeed buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live in newness of life. If then we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. We know that Christ, raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has power over him. As to his death, he died to sin once and for all. As to his life, he lives for God. Consequently, you too must think of yourselves as dead to sin and living for God in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in our second reading from the book of Romans, St. Paul delivers a great message about our Lord Jesus Christ, and once again about his power over sin and death, that he died to sin once and for all. As to his life, he lives for God. So he posed the question to you and I, are you and I living for God? Or are we living only and solely for ourselves, for the things that we want? In the eyes of God, are you and I lined up with what God says to do and not to do? He says, whatever you do for the least of my brothers, you've done it for me. Are we serving God? Are we aligned with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit? Are our intentions are good? Where the faith is strong and the intentions of good, God can bless. And he says, once again, in the book of Romans, you too must think of yourselves as dead to sin and living for God in Christ Jesus. So do our priorities need to change? Where is God in your list of priorities? Is he first on the list, somewhere in the middle, or last on the list? In the WINGS program, these are the priorities that we teach our men and women who are incarcerated or in recovery programs. Number one, God first. Number two is you. Number three is family, and then work, then community service, and then hobbies and sports. And we submit to God in identifying those priorities. Make him number one. And in a 7-day week, 24 and 7, we have 168 hours a week. To make someone truly number one, we've got to give them quality time. So how much time do you and I give to our Lord Jesus Christ each and every week? Is it less than 1%? Or is it somewhere above that? Making God a higher priority. Making him number one. Where not only do we listen to the word of God, but we adhere to it. We implement it. And we apply it to our lives. I want to ask you that question, my friends, because the word of the Lord here in the book of Romans tells us that you too must think of yourselves as dead to sin and living for God. So are we trapped in a world of sin? Or are we overcoming that and moving in a more godly state? We are human beings. We all make mistakes. But are we improving, making progress, letting go of the habit patterns of the past? Or are we struggling day in and day out, unable to unload those burdens that Satan truly has put on our minds and are still involved with sin? God is calling us to live for him in Christ Jesus. So the Lord is the pathway to the Father. And one of the great goals that we should have is to live for God in Christ Jesus, his Son, to make him a higher priority, each and every day to acknowledge him in all things, to pray, to line up with the commandments, to help other people. One of the greatest things we can do, my friends, in living for God in Christ Jesus is to do what he says to do. And the second greatest commandment is to love one another. So are we loving other people? Our wives, our children, our parents, our neighbors? Are we loving other people, both in word and action, not just in word, but our actions? Do they support the words that we say? Or are we coming up short? Today, I challenge you and I, my friends, to raise the standard in terms of living for God in Christ Jesus and following in the footsteps of St. Paul, the great persecutor of the church, who truly was in opposition to the Word of God and to Jesus Christ himself. Converted by the Lord, St. Paul changed his life, where he becomes dead to sin and starts to live for God in Christ Jesus. So today, I ask you and I, my friends, I challenge you, I inspire you, motivate you to make the changes necessary to begin living for God in Christ Jesus and to let go of those things that draw you away from our Lord Jesus Christ and his Father. Let go of those things that truly only focus on materialism and things outside of the realm of Jesus Christ. Let's go to our gospel reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 37 to 42. And here it is. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives me, and whoever receives me, receives the one who sent me. Whoever receives a prophet, because he is a prophet, will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever receives a righteous man, because he is a righteous man, will receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives only a cold cup of water to one of these little ones to drink, because the little one is a disciple, amen, I say to you, he will surely not lose his reward." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of Matthew, my friends, we are given a tremendous pathway into service, to doing for other people. And there's all types of things that we can do for other people. And first and foremost, we need to be strengthened by God ourselves and prepared to do what he calls us to do. First and foremost, we need to be engaged in a relationship with Jesus Christ to strengthen ourselves spiritually and to be enlightened by the Holy Spirit, to be lifted up, to be prompted, to get engaged with other people in service. And there are all kinds of ways that the Word of God has told us to service other people, from bringing food to people who have no food, to visiting men and women in hospitals who are sick, to going into prison and bringing the Word of God, giving hope to inmates, both male and female, lifting them up, helping them to make changes and to come out and to be engaged in a relationship with Jesus Christ. There are many things we can do in the area of service. And once again, God says, "Whatever you do for the least of your brothers, you've done it for me." The book of Proverbs says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." This, my friends, is the essence of accountability. And so today, through the Word of God, we acknowledge the power of God's Word to sharpen the skills of other people, to touch hearts and to change minds, to serve them in different categories. Now, what category will you serve in is up to you. Many are called, few are chosen. What is your calling for the Lord? What do you like to do or love to do and have done for many years? Whatever it is that is comfortable for you, that is good for you, good for your family, good for other people, aligned with what God says to do, we should be doing it. And whatever is misaligned, we should eliminate. And so in the area of service, there are just a host of things that we can do, a lot of diversity. And I remember one of the first ministries we got involved with early on in the early 90s was through Aid for Friends, bringing meals to the homebounds and frail elderly. This company, a nonprofit organization, would make 2 million meals a year and help to provide food to people who had no food in their refrigerators. And, you know, the meals were made by people from many churches who took the time to make an assembly line to deliver food and vegetables and meats and all kinds of goodies into the church basement and to make a true meal for someone. And for 10 years, you know, I was a visitor who brought meals to homebounds. And each person I brought meals to was a different person. And I just tell you, I never made the meals, but I delivered the meals. So the people who made the meals were true servants who devoted a lot of time to making beautiful meals. And then at the end of the month, they would make about 500 to 600 meals during those days, put them in a freezer, and then the visitors would come and take those meals out and bring them to different people in need. And I remember one of the guys I brought meals to, his name was Willie, who lived in Bristol. Willie was, a single man who lived alone. He weighed about 600 pounds. And when I met him, I first knocked on the door, and the door actually just opened. He yelled out. He said, you know, just come in. The door's open. Put the meals in the freezer. I announced my name. I introduced myself, and he was inside his bedroom, and he was sitting in a chair, and he was a very large man. And I just tell you, when I opened his freezer, there was nothing in there. And there was some, you know, old food in the refrigerator. So he was in desperate need of some food. Willie and I became friends, and we prayed the Our Father together. And for 6 to 7 months, we brought him meals each and every week on a Friday. And through Aid for Friends, we opened the door to service for other people. There are other things that we can do, but I just tell you, in bringing food to people, I've met many people who were really outstanding Christians, believers in God, who needed assistance. And in life, there are times when we help other people, and there will be times when we need the help from other people. So today, my friends, I encourage you to get involved with the companies like Aid for Friends or in your church. You know, there are many people who do work in the church as ushers and help to, bring the love of God to other people in different ways. There are people who are readers or lectors and read the Word of God. People who deliver communion who are extraordinary ministers. And also there are people who work in the pro-life movement who help to educate, motivate people to stand up for the defense and protection of the unborn child. Many years ago, I was a speaker for Pennsylvanians for Human Life for many years and went to many schools with a host of people to deliver the message of life and family life to the children to help them to avoid abortion and partial birth abortion. Embryonic stem cell research, the death penalty. And it's all important because our children will become customers of abortion providers if we don't provide them with the family life education that they truly need. And I want you to think about this. If we don't take our kids to church on Sunday and they are not attending a Catholic or Christian school, where will they hear this message if not listening to Holy Spirit Radio or some other station who is really bringing the message of life? They won't hear it in the public schools. It won't be through government. It won't be through television. My friends, you know, we have a responsibility to serve our own families, our own children, with the message of life and family life, helping to, you know, steer our kids into the right directions with regard to not only careers, but into family life as husbands and wives and mothers and fathers. So the service that we provide to other people, first and foremost, could be right in our own families. Let's not go out to someone else's home and get their home in order if our home is neglected itself. Let's get our home in order first and then go help someone else to get their home in order. Does that make sense? And today we have many, many children out there who are engaged in, you know, all kinds of activity, from sexual activity, drinking, drugs, alcohol. It's important that we guide them and direct them. So your community service could be there. But no matter what you do for the Lord, your reward in heaven will be, you know, commensurate what we do for the Lord himself. And the Lord confirms that when he says this, my friends. He says, "And whoever gives only a cup of cold water to one of these little ones to drink, because the little one is a disciple, amen, I say to you, he will surely not lose his reward." I want to acknowledge that because he picks out the children. The little one is a disciple. He's a follower of Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of Matthew, it says to let the children come. So I challenge you this weekend to do all that you can, my friends, for family life and for service to God in different ways. Whatever you like to do or love to do, I ask that you bring it to the forefront and start doing as much as you can to make an impact on families throughout your community. And first and foremost, make sure you are in prayer and getting prompted and lifted up by the Holy Spirit so that you will have the energy and power from God to touch the hearts and minds of all you come in contact with. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. That's our show for today. May God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a great day. God bless you. We'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and clear for takeoff. God bless.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.